Does not look like a whole lot of questions. I was going to stick my tongue out at him, but I decided that would not be very ministerial. Before we get into the Q&As, I also wanted to use this as an opportunity to share a couple of things with you. And the first is that several weeks ago, we asked and we invited everybody to take a survey with regard to should we hug or not hug going forward. And we're very late in getting, this is on me, the results to you, but I do want to share that with you today. 80% of you, 80% of you said that you absolutely want to hug, okay? And there was a preference for leaving it, you know, more where it is than moving it to another part of the service. So we certainly want to honor and respect that. We are huggers. We are a hugging community, okay? There also, though, was a significant number, I think, like 14%, who said, we would really like to get rid of the hugging, okay? So what does this mean? It tells us that to hug is absolutely fine, but we should also allow for people, we need to grow in greater respect for people who might not want to hug, particularly when it comes to new visitors to the church. And I've started doing this thing before the music starts. I welcome people, and I ask if there's anybody new here, precisely so that I could give them a heads up, you know, that when the hugging part comes, don't be intimidated, and to remind people to be respectful, because there's definitely a feeling that it frightens people away. Okay, either it's like, these people are crazy and I don't want to be a part of this, or these people are cliquish and I can't be a part of this. And so that's been reported as a thing. So I'm just mentioning that to draw your attention to it, please. Okay? The next thing. So something has evolved here that you're probably not even aware of. I started putting the announcements. They're on display 10 minutes before the service starts on a rotating PowerPoint, okay? And that's good, except nobody's here to see them. Okay? Which is not good. But it's more than just trying to get you in the seats early, because there's been a phenomenon that has crept up in that a lot of people are here before 10 o'clock, but they're not here before 10 o'clock. And in fact, there's been you're not children, so I'm not trying to chastise you, okay? I'm just sharing an observation. So there's a lot of enjoying one another, you know, just outside the sanctuary, which now, even at 10 o'clock, people are enjoying one another in the sanctuary, you know, and it's like, I feel like I need a gavel sometimes to call the meeting to order. So I'm asking you kindly to be sensitive to that. And also, I know that some people, again, are exchanging pleasantries and getting to know one another and loving one another and supporting one another downstairs. And then, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock and they're still not upstairs. And so they're running in. So I'm just politely, kindly requesting that you be sensitive to this. And what is it going to kill you to come 5 minutes sooner? And if you haven't seen the PowerPoints, there's some funny stuff up there. I work hard at this. So with that in mind, and maybe that'll trigger another question or two, I don't know. But we'll get into these. Somebody has a really good sense of humor. The first question is, boxers or briefs? Well, if we really need to know, I like to go commando. No, I'm just kidding. Briefs. I have to read this because this is long. It is quite apparent this church community is operating in the red. This has not been addressed with the congregation. Issues: deteriorating parking lot, plumbing lines breaking, are tabled or not discussed or shared. What could be done to collectively fix this before more folks flee? What is being done in terms of marketing to attract new members, fundraising? I would have thought we did, the board and I have done a fairly decent job of keeping people posted of what's happening in terms of maintenance in the building and things of that issue. And you should be aware that the board, the last two or three meetings, absolutely has been concentrating on, this church seems to be in an annual cycle that has been kind of going on since I've been involved, even the first time that I was around here. And that is, by the year, end of the year, we generally are looking at a $13,000 to $14,000, $15,000 deficit in the operations funds. And you will see numbers published in the bulletin. Income to date, expenses to date. And so that red ink grows throughout the year, which necessitates having a fundraiser. Now, also historically, you people have been blessing us and one another by being responsive to that fundraiser. Because what happens is, there are three accounts that this church has financially. There's the general fund, which is like a checkbook, okay, which handles the normal operations. There's a reserve fund, which needs to be gone into when the operating fund is running low on cash to pay salaries or to pay utilities or whatever. And the third is an account with Vanguard, which we really, really try to let sit as much as possible in case something really significant happens and we need the money. Okay? So going to the parking lot, for example, last summer, no, I'm sorry, about a year ago, we got bids on resurfacing the entire parking lot. And those bids range approximately $70,000, and that's $70,000 before the city would get involved in possibly doing things like, no, your plan is not good enough, you also have to do this, 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 and so it's a definite possibility that 70 could rise to $90,000 or $95,000. Okay. This would virtually deplete everything if we did that. So you probably noticed that last, because at Lowe's I came across a Kwikset compound that they raved about. And so at that time I went to the board and I said, let's give this a try, please. And so last summer, I started applying the Kwikset compound to eradicate most of those major holes by doing patching job. And if you look out the back window, it looks like our parking lot has the measles. Okay. While I was in there and started doing this, Joey Nelson came along and helped in this process tremendously. And this congregation absolutely owes him a big round of applause. And the only mistake that Joey made is that he did it too well. So it went from me to Joey and I to Joey. Okay? It doesn't look attractive, but I really think right now that the parking lot is safe. And the only reason that I said, let's do this, let's take this preliminary step, for two reasons. We'll go through a winter of snow and ice and plowing, and we'll see how this stuff actually holds up for the longer term. And frankly, if it holds up and it doesn't just erode, you know, we maybe could buy ourselves a couple of years before we do this. Okay? We've also talked about doing the parking lot in sections. And I've gotten mixed opinions on that, that if you do a section at a time, you know, you're going to allow water to get under the new section, and then boom, you know, you've thrown away a lot of money. It is a big, big problem. Okay? Other things happen. The plumbing issue downstairs was ended up being a $6,000 in the red expense. We thought we were over and done with it, and the insurance, okay, and then we had another incident. So we had to bring people in, and in conjunction with the board, the decision was made to run a liner down the main pipe that goes under the eating area downstairs. The people who ran the liner also said, did you guys switch your toilets out lately? Yes, we did. He said, you need to switch out your toilet paper then, because the new toilets are not flushing enough water through the system, and that's what's part of getting clogged and catching things up. We now have rapidly dissolving toilet paper, okay? And we flush water more often, and Warren is looking into the possibility of adjusting the new toilets so that they will, you know, pour out a lot more water. And I'm confident, I believe it's behind us, and the kitchen floor has finally been repaired. So that's the status of this. This is a long answer because this was a detailed question. You know, what we have here is really wonderful. What we have here is really incredible. And we need to get the word out. I understand that. I had somebody who had stepped forward to do this, and unfortunately that individual has had to deal with a lot of personal issues, both for herself and for a family member. So the board at its last meeting has talked about putting a small committee together for PR and marketing, and we absolutely will be attending to this and working on this. This is not just a thing of posting things in newspapers or sending out emails. We need to get one-on-one relationships in a sales capacity, you know, with various organizations in the surrounding area. So we really need people who would be comfortable going in and establishing those relationships. There are great things that are happening. We're going to be doing an Ash Wednesday service this year, and Bradford Newquist is coming. Bradford is a great soloist. It's going to be a wonderful ceremony. I think it's of value to churches that are not New Thought churches, that are traditional churches. But most of all, we have to tell our friends, come and see what's going on here. Okay? But this is an ongoing situation. I don't know how better to answer this question in such not so short fashion. Announcements. Why not in the beginning after 15 minutes? Wow, there's a series of questions here. What drew you to Unity specifically? Well, it reminds me of the old W.C. Fields line. It was a woman who drove me to drink, and I never wrote to thank her. Susan came to me with her laptop open when we were dating and said, I think we ought to try this out. And I said, I'm not going to that church because there was not an ounce of testosterone on that screen. Okay, it was all women. Okay, which I love women, but, you know, well, you know how that battle went, and I ended up going, and I ended up getting more and more involved. The message resonated with me immediately. I started taking some classes, and I said, am I taking this for credit? And she said, yeah, you are. And next thing you know, I was on an LUT track and became a minister, and there you have it. Okay. I'm going to persist for a while with regard to the announcements being on the screen. And not only that, I'm going to develop a secondary program. We have a monitor that I'm going to post downstairs in the eating area. And we'll do announcements after the service downstairs on a screen, on a PowerPoint, the same announcements. Okay? What about Unity sinks to your heart? Unity people care about one another. I was at a meeting of the local ministers in the area this week, a luncheon, and we agreed with something that was expressed by Richard Billings to me several years ago, that unity seems to attract people in pain. And I think that's really, really true. And we may not boast 35,000 members like Willow Creek, but I think, and more so in this congregation than anywhere else, it's not just a message. We take care of one another. We really, really take care of one another. And I just think, and it's not in any artificial way. It's so real. It's so genuine. So, you know, talk about marketing. If we could get more people to witness that for a bit and be a part and understand what it means to be part of a family, you know, I just really think that's our niche. And the message, I just think, is at the same time so incredibly practical for our everyday lives. Okay? I'm prejudiced because I really, really love my wife, but she comes home from work sometimes and she'll start telling me stories in which she just is using unity principles without ever mentioning God or Christ or any of the religious terminology. And our terminology is religious, folks. You know, she just does it and implements it and builds people up and makes them feel the sense of self-worth, okay? And this is an ongoing part of my messages, you know, not just to come here to feel better, that's wonderful, but to take this forward in a way into the world that makes a difference. What's different about unity? I think I kind of answered that. What is your input on the four agreements? I'm not sure if the question is asking what do I think about the four agreements or if the question is asking am I doing anything to participate in the program, okay? I think the four agreements is a fascinating, insightful, meaningful approach. Another way to, another arm, another tributary to help people get a deeper sense of appreciation and recognition of a message that inherently is incredibly consistent with unity, think. Okay? I have not participated in any of the groups, and I did not lead any of the groups. For two reasons. I really am about, as much as I can, empowering people. I think it's neat that people that have volunteered to open up their homes for people to come and do this. And it's because it becomes a type of ministry, okay? You don't have to have all of the formal credentials in order to do that with, to which you are called. And then secondly, just a time thing, to be honest with you. Where did Seth's wife come from? Was she born with original sin? From the fundamentalist point of view. Thanks, John. I suspect, going backwards, from a fundamentalist point of view, that absolutely she was born with original sin, because the fundamentalist point of view is that we all come into this world tainted and tarnished, okay? Which certainly is not unity think. And I'm assuming you're wondering where she came from because of the whole... Keep in mind, please, that these are biblical stories that capture pretty close to 100% of truth while not being truthful. Okay? So there's a fable aspect to the scripture stories, which is precisely why unity's of metaphysical approach to the scriptures is of particular value, because there's no need to really get, you know, ourselves tied in knots relative to these very logistical questions. Okay? So, I mean, I had somebody ask me one time, well, if we all are descendants of Adam and Eve, there must have been a lot of mental deficiencies because, you know, of all of the inbreeding, you know. So it's a similar type of thing. Thanks for signing your name. When will we have another spiritual retreat to the village? Hey, I'm game. Let's go. Okay. And the board was talking about activities for the year, and I certainly think that this is a possibility to do this. I would love to do this, and I would love to do it sooner rather than later. So let me just ask out of those of you who are seated here, who might have some interest in doing this? Wow. Okay. Okay. Judy? Can we crank up the bus? Okay. We'll pursue this. Definitely. Wow. How do you keep optimistic in light of today's new politics, climate change, and so forth? You know, I'm like anybody else. There are times when I get really down about this, everything that's going on, and the whole political scene and opportunities that are passed for the leaders of our country to really bring unification to the country instead of division and contempt and disregard. And it gets to me, and I hear about a couple hundred people in Russia having to be rescued as a major chunk of ice breaks off, and all of the scientific minds in the world are in agreement that climate change is absolutely real, and what we are doing to our children and our grandchildren, it really does get to me. And I shared with Warren just this morning, you know, we're not supposed to be political at all in unity. I once raised a political question in one of my classes when I was there, and I was told in no uncertain terms, we do not go there. The reason that we don't go there is if we get political, we run the risk of losing our tax-exempt status as an organization. So to protect ourselves, we don't. But I asked Warren, I said, at what point do ministers, not just in unity, but in the world, have an obligation to stand up and say, this is not right? Okay, so I labor with that question all of the time. But you can't dwell there, you know? And there's a feeling, well, what could we do? You know, we're so helpless. We are so few in numbers and da-da-da-da-da. You know, our way shower Jesus came along and started with 12 people and literally changed the world. And so I like to go to that place, and none of us has an appreciation of what incredible difference makers we are and we can be in a simple word or two exchange that you have somebody that you know on a very marginal basis or you don't know at all. And then I think about that and I get all psyched up of all of the incredible power that we do have. You know, if we would just remember to be mindful of it, and to adhere to the thing that the principles really work if you work the principles. And so there is so much, so very much that we could do, myself included. And sometimes I take all of the nonsense that's going on in the world and I escape to a mindless TV program. Okay? And that's okay. But if I get stuck there, that's really not okay. And I would do a much better job if I would just spend more time in prayer and meditation. And I am an optimist. What is the greatest opportunity facing Unity of Fox Valley for 2020? I love that question. I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go back to the problems that we're dealing with. Okay? I really believe, and this is consistent with the previous question and answer, every single problem is an opportunity. Okay? And I throw the challenge out there. Okay? There are certain people that will have to make the decisions on the plumbing issues and toilet issues and all of that kind of stuff. You know, these are things that are opportunities for us as a congregation, for us as a family, okay? And for the most part, it's remarkable how people show up once they grow in an awareness that something is needed and something needs to be done, okay? The two other churches that I have had a lot of extensive contact with in my life are Unity Northwest and Unity of Oak Park. One person decorated Unity of Oak Park at Christmas time. And that person would go and grab a couple people by the collar when it took to lifting something that she could not lift or something like that. And the very same type of thing was true at Unity Northwest. I don't know what the situation is now. But here, we make a party of it. So, and a lot of people do it, and it gets done, you know, lickety-split, and it's really incredible. But there are tons of opportunities. You have an opportunity. How can I show up to get the word out about our church? Okay? What can I do? And the door is open. I'm glad to talk to anybody about any ideas that you might have. Who's speaking? Oh, yes. We are on Facebook. But it's really the same question. How do you get people to sign into Facebook? How do you get people to see what's going on our website? You know, just do some basic messages. Yeah, but we do. A few weeks ago, you made a comment that Jesus told us to hate our families. I'm not sure what you meant or mean. Please explain. Thank you. It's a passage that people really don't like. There are a couple passages that people really don't like to go to. What I was speaking about, and I'm sure that this was the intent of the writer of the scripture, I'm fairly confident anyway, is that the message that our way shower Jesus was delivering was so emphasized in a way, if you're really, really serious about your spiritual growth, if you're really, really serious about your spirituality, if you're really, really serious about dealing with the pain in your lives, if you're really, really serious about anything, changing the political situation in the country or anything else, it is not a part-time job. It is a complete dedication to being on this path, to the extent that you have to put aside those family constructs and restraints that every single one of us has grown up with. I'll share with you a personal example in my life. When I was in my early teens and I was involved in a Catholic parish, and there was a Catholic priest who was absolutely phenomenal and made a communion. I would not be here today had it not been for this man. And there was a time when the civil rights movement was very active in the country. And I had strict orders from my father, don't let me catch you in getting involved in any of this bullshit. Excuse my language. And I basically had this question thrown at me by that priest who said, what are you feeling about what's right or wrong? You know, And I said, well, I don't think racism is great. And I think, you know, that, and he says, well, then what are you doing about it? So I ended up going to an enormous gathering at Soldier Field back in the 60s, okay, in complete violation of my father's wishes, okay? So maybe the word hate turned you off, and I, you know, but it's hate not of the individual, not of the person, but it's a total disdain for anything that causes you to lose that single eye focus and prevents you from really being in tune with that inner Christ. Okay. One more, folks. Is there an introduction class to join Unity and learn more? Yes, we're having a new member class here that I will make further mention of later on in some announcements. And there's two dates that are possibilities, a Saturday morning and I believe a Monday. And if you come to the class, it does not mean that you have definitely decided to become a member. It is an opportunity to learn more about Unity and to learn more about Unity at Unity of Fox Valley in the class, okay? And we will cover some very elementary, basic things in that class, in those classes. So that's right on. That would definitely be an introductory class. Okay? And with that, I meant to tell a joke. Before we go into meditation, I want to tell my joke. There was this guy at the post office at the center table, and he was filling out cards, all had pink envelopes, and he was putting love stamps on each and every one of them and stuffing the envelopes. And when he was done, he would spray them with a little mist of perfume. He was a fairly well-dressed, middle-aged guy, and a woman came up to him and said, I got to ask, what are you doing? And he said, I'm sending out Valentine's cards. And she said, yeah, but I notice that you're signing them, guess who? And he says, yeah, I'm sending out 1,000 cards because I'm a divorce lawyer. I was going to tell a previously censored joke, but the censor wouldn't let me. I invite you now, please, to sit back. And let's pray. You have a song, Bob?
Yeah. We're going to sing When I Pray.